Hallelujah. I want to spend some time tonight talking about, now it may sound like my sermon tonight is preparing us to die, but that's not the point of my sermon, all right? I do want to talk about heaven and that heaven is a real place, but then I want to talk about it in application for today. And so if you'll hang in here with me, we'll go someplace. But if you've got your Bible, turn over to John chapter 14. Now I'm going to be reading from the King James Bible. Now, if I take these and thous out, you'll be all right with that, won't you? Sometimes I just do that automatic without even thinking. It comes from the days when I was doing youth pastor work, and I found out that teenagers do not speak King James English, much to my surprise. And so I like some of the things that the Passion Bible has to say and some of the ways it says it. So I might use some of that tonight here also with us. All right. So we're going to start in John chapter 14 and verse number 1. Jesus is speaking here. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now he went on and told him, he said, "You know where I'm going." And they said, "We don't have any idea, Thomas, we don't have any idea where you're going." And that's when Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." But notice here, he talks about this place that he's going as a literal place. All right. That has houses there. And many, my Father's house, he said, are many mansions in his Father's dwelling place. I was amazed in looking up, I didn't really realize it, but how many references there are, over 280 references to heaven in the New Testament. The Bible comes from the standpoint that heaven is a real place. All right? And that is, and I heard somebody say this years ago, heaven is real. People live there, enjoy life there. It's just not, it's not of this natural realm, but yet it's of substance. It's of a greater substance, and that's spiritual substance, which gave birth to this natural realm. It is eternal. It is that eternal realm. And those that have eternal life residing on the inside of them, now think about it. When do we get that? What did Jesus say? Whosoever believes it, he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have what? Everlasting life." Well, when did you believe? You didn't believe when you got to heaven. You believe now. So when do you have that everlasting life? It starts now. It's in us now. That life is in us now. Now, I know as you get older, and because I'm getting more experience. Let's put it that way. The more experience we get, the more you start thinking about things. And again, I'm not trying to prepare us to die tonight, even though we're going to look at several scriptures that talk about what's going to happen at that point. But, I think that we are in a time. I don't think we can say we're coming to a time anymore. We are in a time that we have to have revival now, not later. We can't talk about it's coming. It has to be here now. We have got to have We've got to have revival. How many of you know this world is racing away from God and the things of God? This world system, the God of this world, is leading it that way. But that shouldn't alarm us. That should just tell us, let's get busy. Amen. It's time to stand up and be that light. Be the lighthouse that shines. The darker it gets, the brighter a light can be. And so let's be that light. But we're going to have to be bold. We're going to have to know some things. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Paul is coming towards, he's imprisoned here as he writes this. And, he doesn't know exactly if the executioner is going to bust through the door at any time and say, "Paul, this is it." He's ready. He doesn't know if it is. But I want you to, let's look what he said here concerning this aspect of leaving this life and going into the next. But he says here in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. He said, "According to my earnest expectation," that's heartfelt. He has, how many, you see that? He's expecting something. That sounds a lot like faith to me. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. See, it doesn't matter. Paul says, look, if they kill me, I'm going to magnify Christ. If they let me live, I'm going to magnify Christ. Verse 21, I love this. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. Now, he actually acts like he's got a choice here. Passion says this. It says, so here's my dilemma. Each day I live means bearing more fruit in my ministry. Yet I fervently long to be liberated from this body and joined fully to Christ. This is through 23, 24. That would suit me fine. But the greatest advantage to you would be that I remain alive. So you can see why I'm torn between the two. I don't know which I prefer. Now the King James says in verse 23, for I am in a strait. Sorry, I've got the W from the next word in there. A strait betwixt two. In other words, between two things. Have you ever had two decisions, two things that look good? You had to make a decision, right? He says, I'm between it. Having the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Everybody say far better with me. Far. He didn't say a little better, did he? He said it's far better. I like that. Glory to God. He says it's far better. He said, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. The Message Bible says in verse 22, as long as I'm alive in this body, there's a good work for me to do. If I had to choose right now, I hardly know which I'd choose. See, he doesn't know. Listen to verse 21 let me read it from the King James again. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Listen to this. Alive, I'm Christ's messenger. Dead, I'm his bounty. Life versus even more life, I can't lose. I can't lose. You know, to shed this body here is going to be really living. This body holds us to this earth. It holds us back. It is redeemed from sickness and disease. It's redeemed, but yet it's subject to death yet. But we're going to get a body one day, and we're going to look at that. We're going to be clothed with a body that's no longer subject to death, aren't we? But see, Paul's like, he acts like he's got a choice to make here, and that to go and be with Christ is far better. So we could say this, heaven is far better than earth. Oh, come on. All right? Now keep that thought in mind, because we're going to go someplace with that. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now here again, I'm not trying to talk you into dying tonight. So, all right, hang in there. But I'm kind of getting at that. I was thinking back, you know, to when... Pastor Craig and Dorothy were there same time I was at Rhema and graduated there in 84 in that time period. And I remember Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, talking about, you know, he said, I've been in ministry all these years and learned all these things. And he said, I'm teaching them to you. You don't need to take as long to learn them as I did. I'm teaching them to you. He said, you ought to go out there and do more than I ever thought about doing. If you don't, I'm going to come out there and kick you in the seat of the pants and tell you to get going. Well, I can understand some now, you know, after over 39 years of preaching in this and being involved, especially this last season that I've been in, where we've been training men and women to go fulfill God's plan for their life. You sense an urgency. There's an urgency about what we're doing right now, because heaven is upon us, but we've got such a work to do, and without God's grace, we're not going to do it. But yet. We have our part to play, right? We're not just going to sit back and say, God, just do it. No, we've got to do our part, right? Do whatever God wants to do through us. Now, here in 2 Timothy and chapter 4, look at what Paul said in verse 6. He said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not only me only, but them unto all them that love his appearing. Now, do you get the idea? Paul said, whether I'm in this body or out of this body, I'm going to be alive. Yeah. Right? Oh, and so death does not mean cease to exist, does it? No. Going to heaven doesn't mean you cease to exist. Now, your body may be here on the earth, and that's all right, but you are still alive. Why? I am a spirit. Say it, I am a spirit. I have a soul, and I live in a body. Remember 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul prayed, he said, I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved and blameless unto the coming of the Lord. Spirit, we are spirit beings. That's who we really are on the inside. That's the eternal part. Now look over at 1 Corinthians 15. I love reading these verses and meditating on them and thinking on them. Again, we're going somewhere, right? Don't forget that. We're not taking you to the grave tonight. We're taking you victorious over the grave, all right? Glory to God. But here, let's look at this, verse 51, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Let me read it from the King James, first of all. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, all right, that's this body we have now, must put on incorruption. This mortal, that's what we have right now, must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal should have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Now, here's the great thing about when he says that, see, the reason that death doesn't have a sting any longer is because sin has been dealt with. Romans 6 says we're no longer under the dominion of sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. So for the Christian who's come to Christ, who bore your sin, there's no sting in death. There's no sorrow in your death. There's just more life. Remember, life versus more life. Amen. Paul said, if I live here, I'm alive in Christ and I'm helping you. But to leave this body is to have more life. Okay? He goes on here to say, oh, grave, grave, where's your victory? Why is there no victory in the grave? Because the strength of sin is the law, and we're not under the law any longer. Come on. Hallelujah. He says in verse 57, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not just in death, but now we have this. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So here in looking at this, it give you a little background. In fact, I think, Cliff, I put it at the end. Can we go to 2 Corinthians 4, first of all? If you got that there. Let's go there first of all, because I want to. Now, in chapter 3, he starts talking about Moses went up on the mountain. And he talks about that he came down from the mountain, and it was the glory was so strong, I remember, that they couldn't even look on his face. They said, Moses, we can't even see you. Now, what had Moses seen of God? His back part, remember? God said, look, Moses said, I want to see your glory. And God said, no man can look on my face and live. He said, but here's what I'll do, Moses. I'll hide you in the cleft of a rock, and then when I'll pass by, I'll cover you with my hand. And then as I go by, I'll remove it and let you see my backside, basically. The glory. In other words, the trail of the glory. Not even really the glory. Not even looking God in the face. Just the trail of that glory as it went by him. And so Moses got to see that. And when he came down, the people said, Moses, you know, that's too bright. It was shining on his face. They made him put a veil over his face. And that veil represented their blindness to God. See, they couldn't see God. That glory, it was too. And he said, that was under the ministry of death. How much more glorious is the ministry of the Spirit in our day? You see, because now God said, you know, he said, Moses said, I want to see your glory. And God said, you know, I'm going to pass by. But then in Colossians, it says, what's the mystery that's been hidden from the ages? Christ in us, the hope of glory. That very glory that Moses couldn't look at, because he's living for God the best he can, but he's still a sinner. The least in the kingdom of God, the least born again Christian, the newborn Christian has that very glory that Moses couldn't even look on the inside of them. Hallelujah. That glory is in us. That glory is in us. Now, he gets over here, you know, at the end of chapter 3, he says, we look into the glory, like the word of God, the glorious word, and we're changed from glory to glory, and we grow in it. And then he gets down here in verse number 6 and says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, a scripture came up in my heart. Let me turn over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 concerning Jesus, verse number 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. What is that light that is shining? It's the very life of God. That life is in it. He says, he's commanded that light to shine out of darkness, and it's in our hearts. That light and that life, the life of God is in us. And it gives us the knowledge of the glory of God. Now notice here, in the face of Jesus Christ. Moses, you can't look at my face, but we're looking fully into the face of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But in verse 7 then he says, I know when we get to heaven. No, not when we get to heaven. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This mortal, this incorruptible, we've got that treasure in us. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I love this. He said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Why? We don't live life from the outside in. We live life from the inside out. It's what's in us. That life, that glory that's in us. That's where the life is. That's why Paul, he said, look, that life. And where's that source of life? Heaven. Verse 11, for we which are alive, which live, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. It's in us. Well, he goes on and talks about the spirit of faith. And he talks about we don't look not at things which are seen, but things which are not seen. See, Paul said, look, I'm not looking at the persecution because I'm not forsaken. I'm troubled, but I'm not looking at that. Because I'm not distressed. We got perplexion coming our way, but we're not looking at that because we're not going to despair. We might be forsaken, or we might be cast down, but we're not destroyed. Glory to God. Because we know who's in us. And then he gets over here to chapter 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, so he's talking about our body now, were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle, this body we have right now, we do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that has wrought us for this self same thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of his spirit, or the down payment. Any of you ever entered into a contract on a house and had to put a down payment down and put down earnest money, as they call it? All right. I like this. I like what the Passion says here. And this is no empty hope. For God himself is the one who has prepared us for this wonderful destiny. And to confirm his promise, he's given us the Holy Spirit like an engagement ring as a guarantee. Oh, my. My, my, my. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I got to thinking about that one time about how he's the down payment. And most times, you know, buying a house, you know, they want you to come up with something. But, you know, 10% will hold it. 20%, if you got some, you know, it might get you a better rate and do away with some FHA things and different things like that, insurance. But, you know, not the whole price. Now, it'd be great to go lay down the whole price, wouldn't it? But he said, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit as a down payment. Can you imagine what's going to happen? What more life there is in heaven if the Holy Ghost we got now is just a down payment? Glory to God. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And that's a down payment. The mighty Holy Ghost, the third member of the Godhead, he's just a down payment of what's to come. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. He goes on to say, verse 6, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Now, we know we're united with him, but we're not in his physical presence right now, are we? He says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Absent from the body. See, this body's not the real me then, if I can be absent from it.
That's right.
See, so this body's not the real me, but my spirit, when I leave this body, when this body's left on earth, any Christian who dies, when they leave their body here on earth, they're in the presence of God. Present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's, you know, a lot of times, you know, we kind of get depressed and down. We let things, you know, get emotional. And we have emotions we need to deal with. It's okay. We're going to miss people. But they're not dead. They didn't cease to exist. In fact, they're more alive now than they ever have been. Right? Now, I want us to go to Matthew chapter 6. Because Jesus, they came to Jesus and asked him how they should pray. And I think we've looked at this with, oh, yeah, you know, that's a wonderful thing. Oh, with the Lord's Prayer. You know, and I remember we used to say this, growing up in the church I grew up in, I mean, we'd say the Lord's Prayer almost every service. Had to say the Lord's Prayer and the Apostles' Creed. If we didn't say the Apostles' Creed, we'd had to read the Nicene Creed. Whatever it was, we'd have those responsive readings, you know, that type of thing in the church I grew up in. And we'd go over this I'll never forget the very first camp meeting in Tulsa I attended. It was probably the summer of 81. Would have been, yes, 1981 we were there. And came down to that meeting. And back then, you know, down in the convention center, downtown Tulsa, I mean, the whole place was, they'd have over 20-some thousand people register. You couldn't fit that many people in there, but over the course of the week. But we set up behind, because you could get to that seat fairly easy, sit up behind the platform. Of course, then you had to hear through the echo. You know, it'd go out and bounce back at you, and all that sound wasn't really great back there. But we'd sit up there, we sat up there, and I'll never forget, there was this guy up there, you know what it is. Some folks, you know, they come to a seminar, and they think it's their turn to preach. They know they're not going to get on a platform, they're going to preach and give out their special doctrine, whatever it might be, to everybody around them. And, you know, this guy, he's passing out these sheets, you know, how that the Lord's Prayer is not a New Testament prayer because it's not prayed in the name of Jesus. And, you know, he said, take that back to your pastor and fry his spiritual brains with that. You know, like, okay, why, first of all, would I want to do that, you know? Thank God I don't run into those people so much anymore. Maybe I look a whole lot meaner than I used to. But I don't see, man, I'm telling you, go back 35, 40 years ago, there were some crazy-matic people out there, all right? I'm sure there still are today, but nobody in this room, I know. Nobody. I'm looking around. I'm saying, okay. All right, quit pointing at people. All right. But this prayer is a type for us. And there's some things here, but there's a special phrase that I want us to pull out of this. You ready? All right. He says this in verse 9, Matthew 6, 9. After this manner, therefore, pray, our Father, which art in heaven, or who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now notice here, it's not, Lord, your will be done on earth if it is in heaven. It's as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. Well, in heaven, I think we've already established in heaven there's more life than it is here. And he said, we have a right to ask God for that life that's in heaven to be ours now.
Yes.
Glory to God. As it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. So what does we say? You know, where? On earth. Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Yeah.
You know, I wrote some things down. We can ask God that the not yet of earth meet the finished work of heaven. It's already finished. The work Jesus did is already finished. All right? That as it is in heaven, that the wrong of earth meet the right of heaven, that the sickness of disease of earth meet the healing of heaven.
Yes.
that heaven invade earth.
Yes.
And you say, well, okay, that's nice to pray. How's that work? Well, look at Matthew chapter 10. I want you to see what Jesus said. Now, the reason I'm going to read this is because in Matthew 28, now a lot of us know this scripture, that Jesus said in verse 18, all authority been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye and make disciples, or, he didn't say, but make disciples or teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. So here's something that he commands them to do. And if he commanded them to do it, he told them, teach it to us, that we're to do the same things. All right. Now, and they did this then, and none of them are, I mean, they're with Jesus and they're doing it under his authority, same way we do. But yet again, none of them had the life of God in them like we do. Okay, they're not even born again yet. But I want you to look what Jesus said here. Starting in verse 5, he says, these 12 sent Jesus forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the city of the Samaritans enter not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. After reading some of this, I'm almost convinced he could have said, tell them heaven's come to earth. The kingdom of heaven is come to earth. Now, just like Jesus, you remember when Jesus was come down from where he defeated Satan, the temptation. He came back in the power of the Spirit. And he was there in his home, and they gave him the book of Isaiah, the prophet, and he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me, for he's anointed me. And then after he'd read that, and I'm sure they had read that verse many times in that synagogue over the years. But something happened that had never happened before. He handed the scroll back to him, sat down and said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears, right now. And he's telling them, don't go out there and say heaven's coming. Don't go out there and tell them someday. Tell them heaven is here right now. Heaven is here. And what are you supposed to do when heaven is here? Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. Excuse me. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you have received. Freely give. Now notice that. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. And greater works shall these you do, because I go to my Father. These are the works. The same thing. Excuse me, hang on, Cliff. Give me a cough here. There you go. Got it out that time. I don't know. Hallelujah. The same thing that Jesus sent them to do and to say, that the kingdom of heaven is here right now, healing the sick, cleansing lepers, which we don't have a whole lot of those around him, but you understand what I'm saying, raising the dead, casting out devils. Those things happen because let it be done on earth as it already is done in heaven. There's no death in heaven, is there?
No.
Now, we know this body's going to eventually, unless Jesus comes back, and some of us, the Bible says, we won't die, but we shall all be changed. Right? And so that's the case, true. But I want you to notice here, as it is in heaven, there's more life in heaven than there is here. Paul said, to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I like what the message said, life versus more life. Well, that if that's in heaven, then when he said, tell him that more life is here than what they have right now, if that's from heaven. Tell them there's more power here now. There's more light. There's more. And that's the message. Amen. That's the message. And that's the message that I think we've got to get, not just into this next generation, but into us, and begin to demonstrate for this generation that the power of God is not light lessened any whatsoever. In fact, the power of God is in more manifestation now than it ever has been. prophecy after prophecy after prophecy has been said and by men and women of God who are trusted, who when they spoke, God spoke through them, that in these last days there's going to be great revival, an end time revival. And it's not going to be a revival of healing, just healing. It's not going to be a revival of the Holy Spirit. Not just, it's going to be all of the revival, all of the moves of God rolled into one last great move that goes all over the earth, where the gospel has never been preached, where men and women who don't know the name of Jesus will hear, and not just hear that name, but see the work of that name and see the work that God has to do. Amen. I know I talked about heaven, but I'm here tonight to talk you out of going real quick. I'm telling you, you got work to do. There's things we need to do. We need to go wherever we are, wherever we have contact with, and tell them, look, heaven has come to you right now.
Amen.
What do you need? Heaven is here. We've seen heaven's here. It's in me. In heaven, the life of God is in me. What do you need? All I have to do is ask in Jesus' name and it'll be done for you.
That's right.
Amen? Because didn't he say, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it?
Yes. Glory.
Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm reading Smith Wigglesworth talk about how that he would be with people. And someone would say something and he'd say, if you want free from it, you can have it. What do you mean? Do you want? If you want free from it, you can.
Amen.
And he'd just wait for him. Just wait for him. And then finally they'd just say, well, yeah, I want free. Then be free in Jesus' name. And they'd be totally set free from whatever it was. So you can't just go around. You know, people say, well, if that's the case, just go to the hospital and just get everybody out of there. Jesus didn't do that and you can't do that. But everybody who came to Jesus was healed.
That's right.
Every one of them. Yes. Every one. And he healed them all. Every sickness, every disease. He healed them all. Well, what did that happen? Well, what about when Peter's shadow? They walked, they brought the sick and laid him in the streets that even his shadow might touch him. And they were all healed, it says in Acts 5. Glory to God. Well, if Peter could have shadow, you can have shadow.
That's right.
Because it's the same heaven, the same glory, the same light that was in him is in us.
Come on.
You may not be called to be an apostle, but you got that same light in you. There's a difference between having the life of God in you and having a calling. All of us have the same life in us. And it's not less life, it's more life. More life, because it's the life of heaven in us already. It's working in us. It's working in us. It's working in us. It's a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's how, and really, you know, when we start thinking about that, that's how you and I are going to have our needs met. Heaven is in me.
That's it.
Heaven is in me. And therefore, sin, Satan, sickness and disease, all that has to do with him has no more dominion over me. You got to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, that life is in us. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, I know I'm not going to spring stuff, but where's it that we sing that song, Heaven on Earth, just like heaven, heaven on earth. We ought to have heaven on earth.
Yes.
Not just, listen, and I'm not talking about just, yeah, we ought to have heaven in every service we ever have, but we ought to have heaven everywhere we are. I'm driving down the road, I got heaven with me. I'm talking to somebody at Walmart, I got heaven in me. I'm talking to somebody that, you know, Walmart, every store, wherever your store is, okay, I've got heaven in me. I'm at the bank. I got heaven in me. I'm there at the mall trying to buy something. You know, I got heaven in me. Whatever it is, we've got heaven in us.
Amen.
Heaven in us. I heard a story of a minister years ago who was talking about that light. You know, the Bible says, arise, shine, for the light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. It's not just in us. It's supposed to be coming out of us. And he was at a mall. And just walking around and, you know, kind of just walking around and praying. And they were at a meeting and he had time off and he wanted to go do some walking and some praying. And he just went to the mall where I don't think he could be outside because of the weather, but just walking around and praying. And he said, I'm just minding my own business. He said, suddenly this woman ran up and grabbed me. You know, he said, oh, I'm married. So I'm kind of like, whoa, you know, this doesn't look too good. What's going on here? She goes, I finally got you. I found you. I found you. And he wanted to say, well, I've been found. All right, see, I got this ring here. I've been found. But that's not what she meant. She said, I've been dealing with a situation in my body. He said, I was home praying, asking the Lord. He said, go to the mall and follow and find the light. So she's at the mall, and she keeps seeing as he's walking around the mall in and out of stores. She's trying to track him. Now, he's walking fast. She's trying to track it. She can see a light. That's all she can see. She said it was like the whole mall just disappeared. I could see that light. I could see it. And finally, there it was. There you were. I could see it was resting on you.
Glory to God.
Well, by now, he picked it up and said, well, what is it you need? She had something wrong with her. He laid hands. She was instantly healed. Instantly. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord, the light of God, the life of God, it's in us. It's in us, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Let's be witnesses. Let's be witness of what? Heaven on earth. On earth as it is in heaven already. On earth as it is. People, there's a lot of people that haven't yet heard yet, but let's let the haven't heard yet hear from heaven.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let's not let there be any gap. Let's make up that gap and go out and expect. We should expect miracles. We should expect. We call it a miracle, but it's normal to heaven. Earth calls it a miracle of healing, but it's normal to heaven. Earth calls it a miracle of provision, but it's normal to heaven. You know, Jesus, we talk about the miracles, but it was that stuff's normal in heaven. Amen? Feeding 5,000 with five loaves and two fishes, that 5,000 at the minimum, that's normal stuff to heaven. Amen? You see that? We can live in that. We can live in that now. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you and praise you. Can you lift your hands and your voices to the Lord? We thank you and praise you. Heaven, Lord, we're asking you, Lord. Oh, Father, you who are in heaven, hallowed be your name. Glory be your name. Your name is above every name. We magnify in that name of Jesus, that name of Jesus that you've given, that you, oh God, said, your name is above every other name. That name of Jesus, you gave that name. You bestowed it upon him. He inherited it from you, Father God, that name. Glory to God. He won it by conquest over the devil. That name that's above every name. May your name be hallowed and may your name be lifted up. Father, we thank you. But Father, we're here to ask that it be done here on earth, even as it already is in heaven. That which is lacking in earth, that which is lacking of health, that it be met by the power of heaven. That which is lacking, Father God, in any area of life, that it be met by the power of heaven. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it, Father. Now, right now, right where you are, right where you are, you don't need anybody to pray for you. You know, that power is here right now. That anointing, that life is here. First of all, if you're a Christian, it's already in you. Just let it. Thank you, Father. Life. Life. I speak life. I speak life. Glory to God. I speak life. Be healed of heart disease. Be healed of diabetes. Be healed of arthritis in Jesus' name. Be healed. Be healed. Yes. Be healed of neuropathy. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed. Kidneys, you function in Jesus' name. Kidneys, you function. Prostate, you be normal in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Hearing, you hear. Ears, you hear in Jesus' name. Eyes, you see. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In the name. In the name of Jesus. Father, let it be on earth as it is already in heaven. Let it be on earth as it already is in heaven. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. It is written. Hallelujah. It is written. By Jesus' stripes, we are healed. It is written. Ha! It is written that you meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It is written that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It is written. It is written. You always cause us to triumph through Jesus Christ. It is written that we're seated with you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It is written that we're raised up from the dead. Hallelujah. It is written that we've been made alive. Glory to God. It is written that we're saved by grace through faith. It is written. It is written that you who have begun a good work in us will complete it under the day of the Lord Jesus. It is written. Hallelujah. That greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father God. We praise you and we magnify you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, just start preaching to yourself like that. Just start talking to yourself. Talk, say it out loud. Don't be quiet about it. When you got top, something comes, just start speaking. Hallelujah. Just start. You believe we have that same spirit of faith. You believe, we believe also, and therefore we speak. You can't help it. I start talking like that, and the faith of God just runs right up into my mouth. I mean, it comes up out of my heart, and it just starts coming out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father, that life is quickening this mortal body. How that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, and it's making alive this mortal body. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 It's working in every organ and in my heart, my lungs, my liver, my kidneys, every other, my digestive system. It's all working in Jesus' name. It's working in me. That life's working in me. Sickness, you have to go. Disease, you have to go in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen, amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, why don't we all stand together? Hallelujah. Stand up together. Glory to God. Aren't you glad for God's word? Amen. Aren't you glad? Oh, my, my, my. Hallelujah. I'm glad I came tonight. I needed to hear it more than anybody. I'll guarantee you. I needed it as much as anybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it whenever I was looking at it and God was dealing with me about it, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed preaching it. Hallelujah. I said a lot of things I didn't even know. Thank God. And I'm trusting it was all God. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you tonight. Father, we surround ourselves with faith and the love of God. Father, we thank you that anybody, Father God, that's here tonight that doesn't know you, they won't leave here. They won't leave here tonight without accepting you, Jesus, without accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We thank you, Father God. If anyone here tonight wants to be baptized with the mighty Holy Ghost, with the biblical evidence of speaking in other tongues, that they won't leave here tonight without that Pentecostal experience that's for us today. Father, we just thank you and praise you for all. We give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Now,